Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good evening, good evening. Good night.
Wherever you are in this world, this is the Cricket Show. This is the Cricket Talk, your host, Ivor Henry. And we will be here with you for the next 3 hours or so. We hope you stick and stay. We have quite a nice lineup for you. And we will be sure to keep you company. We'll be keeping our company as well. Ivor Henry in the absence of Leon Francis. And with that, we expect to give you a good show nonetheless. We want to welcome 2020 Vision over there in Nevis as well. And here on this show, you'll hear the likes of Simon O'Brien, Jason Patel. Only comes in early with the inside edge that you won't want to miss. Cardinal comes a calling. He would be in with the back drive. And of course, you can't miss that teasing question from Simon O'Brien. And if Virgil can reach us, he's down in the beautiful island of Antigua, little LA. He calls it paradise. He will be sure to get us. But we have Audley Watson with us, and he'll tell us what's happening in his neck of the woods, and he will report his stewardship. Good evening, Audley.
Hi, good evening, Ivor. Good evening to my fellow panelists, and especially, of course, Leon this evening as the first cricket show on Sunday we're having since the sudden passing of his son, his one and only son. I don't know. I can't say I really understand how he feels, because I can't. I really don't. But I can just imagine how he must be feeling when, you know, you're having one son and just recently visited both when mom celebrated her birthday, and the son epitomizes what you'd call a healthy person, running and, you know, stuff like that, healthy. And just to get a call that he's no more, I know it's not something that is easy. So we just want to, Leon especially, and his family, his wife and his daughters, and say the entire family, you know, especially because I can just imagine what they're going through right now. I lost my sister. I know we were close, and I guess that's the closest I can think about. My grandmother died, but, you know, she was up in age. You can understand that she was sick. But my sister died in an accident at 27. So I got a shock, you know, when things like that happen. But I'm telling you, it's not easy. So we really have to keep up Leon and his family, entire family, because of what they are going through right now. And I even forgot last week to mention Harriet's cousin lost her dad as well, suddenly. And as it turns out, this Saturday, we'll be either in Orlando, and it's going to be two separate funerals. So we're going to be splitting between both, because they're just about the same time, and it's 3 o'clock on Saturday, this Saturday coming. But away from that, we are looking forward to have a wonderful show. My mom, I just spoke to her, and she is doing okay, as much as we can expect her to be doing at this time. And the rest of the family is okay, as I can tell right now. Hopefully everything is good with you, Ivor, and the rest of the panelists and the family.
Yes, I'm doing the best I can, Audley. And again, we want to welcome all of the listeners to the Cricket Show. You're under the sound of my voice. We'll be trying to fill the big boots of our regular host, Leon Francis, who under trying circumstances, he's not with us. He's, as a matter of fact, he's traveling on the road headed back to his residence in Tallahassee. So with that, we're praying for traveling mercies for himself and his entourage. You can say Mrs. Eunice Francis. They are grieved at this time. But nonetheless, again, we just want to welcome 2020 Vision over there in Nevis, simulcasting with us, and will be with us for the remainder of the show. So, Audley, we're going to ask you to give the show its blessing, and then we'll just get the itinerary going as to what will be discussed. Over and out.
Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this, another brand new day. First, only one like this will be recorded in history. Lord, we do thank you for your love. Thank you for your precious mercies towards us. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise for who you are. Heavenly Father, as we are about to start this program, Lord, we just want to especially put Leon Francis and his family, his wife Eunice, and the rest of the family into your hands as they are grieving at this moment, Lord Jesus. We ask that even as they are traveling, that you'll grant them traveling mercies, help that they'll not be in danger to others, and others will not endanger their lives as they travel back home to Tallahassee. And I ask, Lord God, that you'll comfort their hearts, Lord God. Hold them with your righteous right hand. Keep them protected, covered under your blood, Lord Jesus, because in this time of trying circumstances, I know the mind can stray a bit, but we ask that you'll keep them perfect, Lord God. Leon, as he drives, or whosoever is driving right now, we ask that you take full charge. You'll be the pilot. We don't want you to be the co-pilot, Lord. You'll be the pilot, Lord Jesus. And we know that everything will be. Heavenly Father, we just put everyone else into your hands at this evening as we're about to commence this program. Once again, I ask that you will just be with us, Lord Jesus, those who are listening from afar, those who are near, and all those who will be participating in this evening's program. And help us to do everything according to your will, according to your glory. You will be glorified in whatever we say and whatever we do. So another time, we just deliver everything to your powerful and your mighty hands. Lead Ivor as he go, Lord, this evening as a host. And we ask that everyone that come in, that they, Lord God, do play their part as well. We just want to reach out to those with 2020 vision and those beyond, Lord God, that you'll keep them alive. Keep them, Lord Jesus, as they continue to do well over there in Nevis as they broadcast to the entire world. So this time I'm going to put everything to your mighty and your powerful hands once more. We wait and we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Audley. And again, we are going to be here until 9 o'clock in our neck of the woods. And for those in the Eastern Caribbean, it will be 10 o'clock. Well, as we await the other panelists, we will just go ahead and give you some of the discussions that we're going to be having. Of course, I mean, tennis, we might say, ooh, how can we just bring tennis? Well, the Australian Open has just finished, and Djokovic would have got his 7th title over there in Australia. And I know Cardinal will have something to say about the tennis tournament. Serena herself being knocked out, really trying for number 24. Well, cricket, lovely cricket, and we are all about cricket here. Pakistan in South Africa. Well, Pakistan is making good of the weather over there in South Africa. They will have won the 4th ODI, having bundled out South Africa for only 164. They got home quite easily, 168 for the loss of just 2 wickets. They did so in 31.3 overs. We'll have a discussion on that. And India. And India is on top of the world at this time, I can tell you that. They're taking care of New Zealand over there in New Zealand. Once ago, we thought that the Indians can only play in their own backyard. Well, we have news for the cricket pundits, because India, under the captaincy of Kohli, I know he's making waves, is taking care of of New Zealand, I beg your pardon. So that we'll have a discussion on that as well. Sri Lanka, they are in Australia and welcome back from Australia. They have, I can say, walloped Sri Lanka in their matches. But look at this, still a funny game. You know, you're up one day, you're down one day. But that just goes to show you how mighty the Indians are, because they went to Australia and in their backyard, they walloped Australia, much to the delight of Audley Watson. And the big news, West Indies, England touring the West Indies, the underdogs, if I can say so myself, took care of England within 4 days of a 5-day match. And we will give you all of the highlights and the lows in that game. I wouldn't take the time out to do that, but I'll just go ahead and congratulate West Indies by saying they would have taken care of England in one which we will regard as a one-sided affair. But nonetheless, Kohler would have said one game does not summarize the summer. I'm just paraphrasing. So we'll hold on to the victory from the West Indies, and we will hope that it carries on over to Antigua. So, local cricket here in South Florida, it was a no-go this Sunday because of the nagging rain. And they don't like to hear the term woman rain, but it's that kind of a rain that, you know, it just nags you. So it was no play in both leagues here. That's the Gold Coast League and the South Florida Cricket Alliance. So, in essence, Ivan Henley got himself a day off. Thus, I'm here very, very early to host the show. So, God works in mysterious ways. I would have been probably rushing, getting in here to try to host the show. But nonetheless, we're going to have Audley come on in with Inside Edge. We would have given you enough time. As a matter of fact, Audley, before we get that Inside Edge, let me just boost the West Indies with it, and we give a few more folks a chance to hear that Inside Edge live. We have quite a few persons on here, but let's rally around the West Indies, and then we'll be right back.
Rally round the West Indies, one forever. Michael holding, all in the heat of the battle. Michael should have left long time. I heard an angry brother shout, Caribbean man, that is the root of our trouble. Oh, in these tiny theaters of conflict and confusion, better known as the eyes of the West Indies, we already know brothers here and created this confusion. So I'm begging my people, please, oh.
West Indies started off very well, but oddly will tell us how close they came to an inside edge, or if indeed there is an inside edge.
Well, I'm hoping next week we'll be able to play that song again. Sorry about Celian. Next week we'll be able to play that song again because the West Indies really did well. We'll discuss that. Oh, the inside edge for today. In 142 years of Test cricket, there has been seven occasions after three innings that the scores were level. That meaning the side that is going to bat the fourth time in the fourth innings needed just one run. Yes, and the West Indies, they were on the receiving end one time. They were beaten by England needing one run. India, England, South Africa, New Zealand, they all were on the receiving end once. Only team to be beaten twice with a side needing just one run is South Africa. But on the winning side, we have the West Indies twice. We beat England and India just needed one run twice. And Australia did the same twice. And England did the same twice. And Pakistan is the only other team to have one just needing one run. So we are up there, the West Indies. We won two, just needed one. And on the receiving and getting beaten, just it was England just needing one run to win when they batted. So there we got it. One run.
And that's all you need to win a test match. Win by one. And
one run.
One Anakanta. But we have Brother Cardinal out of the Virgin Islands, and he will be telling us what's happening in his neck of the woods. I know he's a happy camper at this time. I hope no one would be telling him to wipe that smile off his face. Good evening, Cardinal, and welcome to our weekly cricket talk. Leon, our host, is not with us this time, but he's with us in spirit, and he would have had prayers for his traveling mercies on the way back to his residence over there in Tallahassee. But, come on down.
Yes, good evening, Ivor. Good evening, Audley. And good evening to all of the fans, friends, and supporters of the Black Talk Radio Cricket Show coming to you on this Sunday evening. Well, I'm not smiling yet, Ivor. I'm not smiling yet. I'm happy, but I'm not smiling yet because I'm hoping that it's because I look vexed. Why the West Indies perform so well? They wanted to prove me wrong. So I'm going to keep looking vexed in the hope that we're going to win all three in this series. That's fair enough? So I ain't got my smile yet. I'm going to keep on my serious face for now because I think I'm beginning to think that it was my serious face that caused this grand performance and over the last couple of days. So allow me sometimes for my thoughts on the matter and keep my serious game face on.
Okay, well if that works for the West Indies, I'll say
yes. I'm hoping that
guess.
It does.
Be my guess. Okay. Well, they would have proved me wrong. I have to admit that I never count out anything in cricket, but at the same time, there's some things we're going to discuss and some personnel in the team that I think we could even be stronger on paper. But on the field of play, they would have brought home the goods. So I'm grinning. I can tell you the truth. So I'm not going to really take it and run away because we still have to get 2 out of 3 in order to get that trophy back in our China closet. But nonetheless, you would have spoken and you've spoken from the heart. You're happy, but the smile is not there. We work better, West Indies I'm speaking of, when probably our back's against the wall. Talk now and we make runs. We'll make you grovel and become out blasting. And I think this is one of the cases where Barbados, as they call Little England, is boom. They would have said, listen here, we're the underdogs. Everybody would have written us off and for some strange reason, maybe take their feet off there. And we really crept in, if you want to put it that way. He's like a Chinese creeping in while they're looking at somebody else at the other entrance. But nonetheless, we're here for sports, and sports it is. I would dare say we are without Leon, but I know his spirit is with us. And Cardinal, you would have heard of the passing of his son. The funeral comes up next Saturday, this Saturday coming at 3 o'clock. And we will give you more details in that regard. But I think we have to jump into the thick of things here because, you know, the folks are saying, well, I'm not sure if you were finished hailing up the 2020 vision and all the stuff. I jump in on your parade there, Cardinal. If you were done, we can get into the thick of things. If not, you can finish up your intro.
It's great here in the Virgin Islands. We have nice, you know, not hot days, but cool days. You know, cricket is going on in the region at this time. I suppose that the little tournament that we play, because they're most of the older guys who play cricket here, you know, so they take short breaks. Anyway, beyond that, we're having a wonderful time here, and everybody in the Virgin Islands who is a cricket fan has been enjoying the performance of West Indies cricket, West Indies team over the last couple of days. Let me say good evening to all the fans over there in Nevis who we are presented to through by way of the 2020 vision. We say hello to Ren and the people at 2020 Vision. Until let's talk, and let's talk cricket.
Well, we talk sport at this time. You know, cricket is normally our head honcho. We speak in local parlance, rubber cricket. We give our opinions and we don't hold back, no bars hold. But I think we want to get this one out of the way. The Australian Open would have just finished, and the ladies would have taken care of business. The men section would have taken care. Colonel, I'm going to put that in your corner, and we'll get that, get it out of the way, and congratulate Djokovic as well on his seventh win. So I'm going to put that in, and Audley, feel free. You know the usual thing here. We debate the issues as we see. We can always jump in, we give way, the usual thing.
Well, you know, for tennis fans, you know, the tennis fans always create, you know, enjoy a great rivalry. You know, we have, you know, the rivalry from way back when, the Connors,
McEnroe,
Lendl rivalry of the 80s, the come on to the 90s, and the Sampras, Agassi, you know, and that thing. Now we have, coming to the forefront, you know, building on that legacy, you have the Nadal, Djokovic, and a little ahead of them is our good man from Switzerland, Roger Federer. Okay. Those are at the top of their game. Now, we expect good games, and we see that, and now, flowing into that rivalry on the female side, you know, you remember you had the Graf, Celeste rivalry, the Martina, Chris Evert rivalry, and up to the ranks, we have the sisters rivalry. Not much of a rivalry as they would want to think, but we had the sisters dominant. And, you know, they really didn't come up against too much competition. I'm talking about the Williams sisters. But in comes a new generation, and part of that new generation is a young lady by the name of Naomi Osaka. One of her parents is Japanese, and she was born in Japan. The other is Haitian. But I think she plays for Japan on the international team. But, you know, a young lady who's very talented, but very humble, you know, and she captures our heart. And so we are happy, even though we might be sad that Serena didn't take us to 24 on this one. We are happy that young lady of such stature, a great performer as well, very disciplined, has took care of business and has won the Australian Open this year. She won the last Open of the last Grand Slam Open of the tournament last season. She won the U.S. Open, and she had opened her account this year, this calendar year, with taking the championship of the Australian Open. The great rivalry of Djokovic and Nadal continues, which Djokovic dominated this time at the U.S. Open with a great deal of, you know, really meticulous and aggressive tennis. He took care of Nadal in three sets and is now the crown champion of the Australian Open. We look forward to see more of that rivalry in the upcoming Grand Slams. The French is coming up next, then Wimbledon, then the U.S. Open, the Grand Slam, and then there are other tournaments around the world which we visit, such as the Miami Open. This is called the fifth Grand Slam. So that's one is coming up next, sometime in March, and there will be other small tournaments around the world. We will see these two men go at each other, and we would enjoy the rivalry. Some people take one side, some people take the other. But at the end of the day, you're going to be thrilled with exciting tennis. That's what we look for.
Okay, very well. So, like you said, Nadal, he would have gone out the way. Oddly, you might want to just chime in on that as well. Like I said, feel free.
Yes, I am a Roger Federer guy. So when Federer was knocked out, I was very disappointed because I want him to build on his the amount of Grand Slam that he has already won. But it didn't work this time, and he came down, I think, to quarterfinals or thereabout, but he was knocked out. And now, Nadal somehow, I don't hate Nadal, but because of the rivalry with himself and Djokovic and Federer, it's like I always root for Federer. If Federer is out, I don't want Nadal to win either. So I'm a bit happy that Djokovic this comeback can win because, as a matter of fact, over last year sometime, you know, Djokovic went down in the ratings and he was being beaten, you know, as if he was having some bad times, but he has rebounded. And he, as a matter of fact, by winning the Australian Open, he has once again been, he's not once again sitting at the top of the world in tennis. He's rated number one in the world. So that's good for Djokovic. But I'm still hoping that, I know Federer is no longer a young guy, neither is Serena Williams. But I'm hoping that they will have at least one or two more of those Grand Slam in them to just extend their record a little more. Young Osaka, I'm happy for her. And the fact, you know, I'm rooting for Serena as well. The fact that Serena was out, you know, young Osaka. As a matter of fact, the Grand Slam she won last year was Serena. We remember with the big controversy, and but they were playing a whole other thing. The child was so humble; she was apologizing. Yeah, she was actually apologizing for beating Serena. You know, it's like Serena has been her idol. You know, growing up, idolizing Serena Williams, and they actually met in the finals, and she came out on top. Man, I mean. You know, and the crowd was actually booing her, which was terrible. You know, we all want to see Serena, you know, break that record, own it all by herself. We have to remember that you know, always a time when it doesn't matter who you are, you know, we are a champion, and age have a time to catch up with us, because you can have all the thing to work out in your head. But then sometimes the body simply can't catch up with the brains with what is going on. So, as I said before, I'm still hoping Serena can win at least two more Grand Slams to extend her record and own the record completely by herself. But in the meantime, we have to just give congratulations to young Osaka and also congratulations to Djokovic as they... they both came out as winners of the Australia Open. That's it.
Okay, well, there we have it, folks. And we got the tennis portion of it out of the way. But we have a whole lot of cricket here to contend with. And I...
Time out of 100, you know, we get a good...
Well, let's see. I'm going to bring... I want to bring something up next here for us here. Let's see what we have here.
Australia. An innings and 40 run victory, and it's the skipper with a simple stumping. Magnificent performance by the Aussies.
Yeah, you caught it, didn't you? It was coming, the big charge down. Well, the Australian cricket team, they're back. What a performance. Nathan Lyon brings it up. Behind the stumps, thanks to Mackers, the wickets. Tim Payne. A beautiful bit of drop bowling, wasn't it? He lured Blackmore down. Payne was so quick. getting the bales off. A clever bit of flight by Black Knight to complete the win.
Right, folks. We will talk a little bit about Australia taking care of Sri Lanka. So
I think I'll put that in Audley's to do the opening bat there this time. Audley, because you know the smile is not on Cardinal's face with Australia taking care of Sri Lanka. So
I think Australia has to be down. Australia is up, so he's not smiling.
You're right.
Sri Lanka. Yes, as you mentioned earlier, Ivor, that they were beaten by India, and as it turned out, they are bouncing back. Sri Lanka, you know, they are still trying to find their groove after they have lost the likes of Sangakkara, Muralidharan, Will Furlong, Jawardini, and I don't think the most experienced guy, Matthews, is not in the side. I don't know what happened. Well, I think something that he was injured or something, but he is not in the side. So they are really lacking where the experience is concerned. But going to Australia, of course, you have to be on the very top of your game to go to Australia and beat Australia in Australia. And as it turned out, Sri Lanka, they are not quite ready. As it is right now, they are struggling. And first of all, they made only 144 in the first innings with just the wicketkeeper, De Quayle. He put up any resistance. He made 64 from 78 deliveries. And the next high score is 24 by Kolaratne, the opener, Kolaratne. And nobody else really did anything outstanding. But Cummins, he was bowling very well. As Cummins, of course, for Australia, he was bowling very well against the Indians, because even when Stark was not getting anything going in that series, it was Cummins and Lyons. And as it turned out, Cummins took 4 wickets, 3 from Richardson, 2 for Stark, 1 for Lyons. And Australia went in and they did what they had to do. They made mincemeat of the Sri Lankan bowling with Harris up the top, making 44 opener. And Labuschagne, he made 81, and Travis Head, 84. Pedersen coming with Tark himself, 25, and 26 rather. And Lakmal was the star bowler for the Sri Lankans, having bowled 27 overs, 5 for 75. And Pereira took 2 wickets. And they put Sri Lanka back into bat. They went back in, and this time they only could come up with 139 runs for 9 wickets. Somebody got hurt or something. The only 9 wickets, but it wouldn't make any difference. And they eventually lost the match by an inning and 40 runs. And this time it was Cummins again. Cummins, he took 4 wickets in the first innings and 6 in the second inning. So it was a 10-4 for Cummins. And Sri Lanka went down by 40 runs, an innings and 40 runs, which is not good for Cardinals team. Well, I love the underdogs, well, the Sri Lankan as well, but it didn't work out good for them this time. We're only hoping that they're able to do like the Pakistanis, you know, who the series they're playing right now, that they got beaten in the two matches and then came back and it's all tied up now 2-2. So we're hoping that the Sri Lankans will find some grit, you know, when the next test comes around, and they will show a much better performance and give the the Australians on fight.
Okay, so just before we bring in Cardinal, are you saying that Australia would have turned the corner, having been badly beaten, bruised, left washed up, left for dead by Australia just a few weeks ago?
You mean by India a few weeks ago?
By India, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say Australia is not really around the corner. They are still on the street. It just happened that they were humbled by India in the series. Australia is still one of the top teams in the world. So I don't know if I would say they have turned the corner, so to speak. We could say they bounced back from the series defeat and they're taking it out on the Sri Lankans. But they're really up there. When we talk about turning corner, we have to make that reference to the West Indies. When we talk about the West Indies.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good time for us to bring in Cardinal. I just wanted to get that in there to see if Cardinal would tell us that Sri Lanka is playing not within their means. They're not playing out of their skin. Is it that Australia has rebounded? Australia is that good? What went wrong for Sri Lanka, Cardinal?
Australia has not rebounded. I mean, you can obviously see that this was a very poor batting performance at the doorstep of Sri Lanka. The people that you would have expected to perform, Karun Ratne, Hermania, Mendes, Silva and Pereira, you know, they got. I think Sri Lanka got a good solid batting lineup all the way down to Pereira, and so they just failed in their batting performance. Their bowling performance is not that bad. Australia didn't make 350 runs against them. They got out Australia for under 350 runs, which is, you know, an average, you know, performance bowling on the part of Sri Lanka. It's just that their batting let them down really terribly. We see that, I don't know for what reason, but one of their mainstays in the form of Angela Matthews is not in the side. We don't know why. I don't know why. I know Matthews was having some problems with the administration. They said negative things about him, like, you know, he was too fat and couldn't run and all that stuff, and keep running out people and things like that. And so, but yet still, he's a great performer and a staple in the Sri Lankan side. Now, I don't know if he's sick or what, but I wouldn't even think to say, for 323 runs, I wouldn't even think to say, you know, Australia would have turned the corner. We agreed that they're missing Steve Smith and David Warner. We know that. Those two men are senior players. They are, you know, we know that they are sterling performances and things like that. But I wouldn't call that 323 runs a sterling performance of batting on the part of Australia. Sri Lanka still performed well with their bowling is concerned. And so their batting is the poor performance in batting that really let them down.
But can we just give all of the credit to the bowlers, Cummings in especially, who would have held his own and came up trump in this match. So
Cummings didn't even feature against India. You know, I mean, even when they thought they had India on the back, when Kohli was gone and Darwin was gone, and they still had to deal with Pujara, you know, and they still had to deal with Lord Down in the order. So, you know, it was his day. Let's call it that. It was Cummings Day against Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
So you know, I'm not gonna put a great deal of thing on that. You know that Sri Lanka's Australia's bowling is hanging around the shoulders of Mitchell Starc. Okay? And it was Cummings who featured in the bowling in both innings. Starc didn't feature that much. You know, but as again I say, you know, they won and you can't take that away from them. You know, but again, I'm uncredited to poor batting performance on the part of Sri Lanka.
Okay, well, Ollie would tell us shortly how much longer Steve Smith and Warner have before they can return to the Australian lineup, because Cannell would have said the batting is still falling short of top performance. And he has said and indicated that the reason for that is that the leader, Steve Smith, and David Warner, the captain and vice captain, they are presently serving out their ban along with Bancroft. So that might make a difference if and when they return to the scene. But my question here to the panelists and anyone who wants to call, 515-605-9850, you two can be a part of the conversation. Tim Payne is presently the captain and wicketkeeper. They've been battered and bruised, left for dead by India. But like Cardinal said, they haven't showed much in the batting, but they would have won candidly against Sri Lanka. When Ardy tell us when Smith would be back, would Smith be trusted with the leadership of the Australians again? We know he can make the team. He's been playing 2020 cricket around the world. I think he's playing in Australia as well. Would they entrust him with the leadership again? Because they did not take away that possibility. They took it away from David Warner, said that he will never captain. Well, this administration, I don't know if another administration will come and override that. But the present Australia administration would have said that David Warner will never be in a leadership role for Australia again. My question is, Steve Smith, upon his return, would he resume the captaincy? Would he waltz his way back into the team? This, because we know he's playing quite an amount of 2020 cricket around the world. And so, David Warner, he too can come in and just play as a senior player as opposed to vice captain or captain of the team. So, only feel free to come in when you feel. But kind of, we can debate it in the meantime.
Yeah. They'll be eligible to return on March the 29th. After March the 29th, they're eligible to return. So I think they are such quality players that they will be able to walk right back in the team. But as for the captaincy where Steve Smith is concerned, I know Warner won't be considered, period. But as for the captaincy right now, where Smith is concerned, I don't think he will just come and replace Wade or who the present captain right now.
Payne.
Payne. I know that wicketkeeper mistake with Matthew Wade. Yeah, Payne. I don't think they'll just hand it over. At least it's gonna happen for a while. They'll still persist with Payne. If the Australians are losing, then I think you will see an emergence of Smith once more, or faster, his ascendancy back to the captaincy. But otherwise, I don't think he's just going to come back, and as he returns, he's going to be named captain again. That's just my opinion. But available, they are eligible as of the 29th of March of this year.
Let me engage you just before Cardinal come in. Okay, the World Cup is around the corner. We know that is big. You're going to be in the world stage. Every 4 years we have the ODI 50-50. It's going to be over in England. Smith would be, and Warner will be eligible. I'm back into the leadership role. Do you think in that format they would use the experience of Steve Smith to bring him back into the leadership role in the World Cup? What do you think?
It's hard to say really, but After all, after you have committed a crime and you served the time, then and in Smith, when we talk about Smith, he's eligible for the captain. So he can be named captain again. But then again, I don't know if it's sending the right message. Although he would have served his time already, but to just been entrusted with the captaincy right away as a return to say for because it's the World Cup. I don't know, but it's a 50-50. You can look at it as a glass being half full or half empty, because as I've said before, he has served his time, and after a year he's eligible to play again. So it's totally up to what Cricket Australia will be doing. And when it comes to the World Cup, you know, they have an enviable record of winning that World Cup 4 or 5 times, whatever. But and they would like to add to that as well. So I think we can. It may happen. It may not happen. I think it's a 50-50, 50-50 chance.
Okay.
Okay. That's my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're here for. We give our opinions, and we're adamant about them as well. We're strong in our opinions. Colonel, you would have heard some of the questions thrown out there to add to the world. Let's put it this way: Audley would have taken on and given his opinion. What say you?
I think there was some imposition of a captaincy ban on both David Warner and Steve Smith. So even after they get back, there will be a moment, a period of time in which they would not be permitted to hold the captaincy of Australia. And I don't think that time is going to be included in the period that Australia contests the World Cup this year. Steve Smith is considered, you know, the best captain in Australia at this point. And so the Australians would want to get him back into the captaincy. But I'm sure that there are contesting opinions as to whether or not he should hold the reins of captaincy again. And when he gets back into the theme, in as much as Australians like to win, and we do anything to win, I think, you know, when the time comes to appoint Steve Smith back to the captaincy position, there is going to be opposition in Australia. And even if there's not going to be any opposition, there are going to be questions. There are going to be questions which would make even Steve Smith, uncomfortable with his captaincy. The media is there. There are people who are going to have opinions as to whether or not he should captain Australia again. But doubtlessly, as long as he's on the field, we know that he's going to take a leadership role. He can be there advising whoever is captain, Tim Payne or whoever else. And his presence on the field is going to mean a lot to Australia's performance. So I'm not going to, you know, as Audley said, it's up to Cricket Australia. But I'm anticipating that even though there are those who want Steve Smith back in the captaincy, there are those who are going to strongly object to it. It's all well and good to call a man a thief when you never saw him steal anything, but you're just surmising. It's a different story when that man gets caught and he has to respond to those who suspected him in the first place. There is going to be one or two responses. He's going to say, well, I had the circumstances out of my control. He's going to say, like Shaggy, it wasn't me. He's going to say, like somebody else, I was right to do it, given the circumstances. And all those other responses. Steve Smith, in his response to the media, has said, well, I knew that it was going to go on, but I just walked past it and told them, I don't want to hear. There you go. Already started making excuses. You are the captain. You're in charge. You hear this thing going on, you nip it in the bud. You see? So there is going to be some resistance. And if there isn't any resistance in Australia, there's going to be resistance in England. There's going to be resistance in India. There are going to be the commentary. And it's going to make Steve Smith uncomfortable, himself uncomfortable with his captaincy. So I'm just going to wait and sit aside and look and see what is going to come up.
Ivan?
Well, we'll watch and wait. We'll watch and wait. And like I said, our predictions here are just opinions. So I
after you, Ivan, after you, when you finish.
No, you come on in, come on in.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes the best person to be a leader is a person who is messed up, who was messed up, right? A person who got himself into a certain situation, was busted for drug and spent time in prison and so forth. That person reformed and come out. That's the best person to go around in schools and so forth and to say, look, this is what happened to me and you ought not to do it. We're talking about Chris Lewis. Chris Lewis, the England, former England cricketer here, and he got messed up with drugs. And right now he's being used, you know, by the authorities going around talking to kids about the danger of drugs and when not to do it. And when you actually coming from that situation, and it's like you have paid your price, and you know you have suffered, you know what you've suffered, what you lost, maybe deals that you would have signed and so forth, endorsements and so forth, and it's really the best person, you know. So if the person is really changed, if they are really changed, it's the best person to go out there and say, look, I did it, and it's wrong. It doesn't pay. So I'm telling you, take it from me and walk the straight and narrow. It's just like if you have a bully in your class or anywhere. Said you're a teacher and you have this guy. Point is the bully to keep silent. And you find that you win him over. He start to keep, you know, he look into himself and, okay, teacher trust me to keep the peace and keep silent, you know? And you maybe could look at him and say, I don't want to deal with him, and then he'll continue giving trouble maybe when you're gone. But you say, all right, okay, I call on you. You're going to keep the peace until I return. But there is something inside of me that says, well, teacher has confidence in me, and, you know, so I'm going to make sure I don't disappoint the teacher. So the same thing would go with Steve Smith, that, you know, he has spent his time. He confessed to everything, and so it's like everything is clean now. So it's up to us, the public, so you have a cut and cut is healed, you're going to have the scars. So people will only look at the scars and refer to it. So you just have to take it as you go along.
The leadership role, the captaincy, I just have the feeling sooner than later. Australia kind of said it wants to win at all costs. He would have served his time. I think if he's the best man for the position, you should not care what the commentators are saying, what the sports writers are writing. You would have done your time, whatever it is. Yes, you would have walked past it, like you say. You should have done something. You're just as guilty. I personally believe that the coaches and others were involved in that. So these three guys taking the brunt, Bancroft, Smith, and right at their doorstep, maybe even the administrators. Somebody saying something? I always give
one. No, so. I'm getting some hiccups. in your presentation at times.
Right. I was about to say the same thing. Yeah, there's some gaps coming. Okay. Sometime I'm not hearing you. Right.
Yeah, I'm hearing it even early too, but I would have lost my screen here too. I hope that we're going through to the to 2020 vision over there, because on air came off for some strange reason. So I'm hoping I didn't hear anything. I should have checked my phone to see if someone WhatsApp or. Well, I know we're up on the birthday hour. Let me see if I can. What I can do here concerning putting back up a screen. I'm logging off from this one to sign back in. So, when something can go wrong, it always go wrong. That's the mouth is mm-hmm. long, right? It will.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me see if I get a screen back here. But I know for sure we were off air. It showed me we were off air in the screen position. But, you know, the show has been recorded either, you know. But I just don't want us to be speaking amongst ourselves. Well, we can go on to something else in the meantime. Oh, we continue this until when I come up here, because the computer is lucky, wants to take his own sweet old time coming up here. Again, folks, you might want to know what's taking place. You're not hearing the voice of Leon Francis, our regular host. Well, he is traveling back to Tallahassee because of an incident where his son was suddenly cut down, as far as we know, through nature. Nothing to be really get head over heels over in terms of anything suspicious for now, let's put it that way. But that funeral will be held next week, Saturday, at 3 o'clock. It's going to be over in Orlando.
This Saturday.
So this Saturday, yes. Well, it just started a new week. And folks, let me remind you, this is the last Sunday in January for the cricket show. And just a few moments ago, we were saying, welcome to 2019, welcome to January, happy birthday, oddly. We were just saying that a few short weeks ago. But here we're going to be rolling into February, which is a very short month, of course. And in it, we're going to have the Valentine. And that's even make it a little shorter, because midway there, you're going to feel like, well, it's just beginning, because some folks are going to really celebrate. Still waiting on my computer here, unless you want to get into the birthday without the theme song, oddly.
Yeah, I can do that. That's not a problem. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I just go ahead?
Yes, go straight
okay,
ahead.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's the time of the evening when we present the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary, when we take a look at the cricketing fraternity and we say happy birthday to the cricketers or umpires or cricket administrators. And we say birthday to some other people as well. And you can call in and you can say happy birthday, or, you know, in the case of Leon, come offer your condolences. It's 515-605-9850. 515-605-9850. All right. So we're going to get into the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary at this time. We start with today. Today, the 27th of January, so we in the West Indies, we have Dean Headley, the son, grandson of George Headley, the son of Ron Headley, and he played his cricket for England. So Dean Headley, and from out of Guyana, Milton Paidana. Today is also the birthday of Daniel Venturi, former captain of New Zealand, and Shane Thompson, George Pope from England, and also the man that holds the record for the most economical figures in ODI cricket, Shaminder Vass from Sri Lanka. He took 8 for 19, 8 wickets for 19 runs. And he is the only bowler to have taken a hat-trick with the 3 first delivery of an innings. 1, 2, 3. So it was 3 wickets without any runs at all. Shaminder Vass from Sri Lanka. For the 28th, Monty Noble out of Australia. Herbert Sudwick from England. David Sid Lawrence. And Hopper Reed, also from England. Henry Foley from New Zealand. Asaq Shafiq from Pakistan. And of course, the big one for the 29th is Mr. Simon O'Brien. One of our panelists here, Mr. Simon O'Brien, he will be celebrating his birthday on the 29th of January. Happy birthday when it comes, Sir Simon. I know you'll be coming on a little later, so you will shout you or give it a shout out. So along with Mr. Simon O'Brien, you know who you'll be sharing the birthday with? Mr. Andy Roberts from out of Antigua. Sir Andy Roberts, along with Ted Head from Barbados. We have Ramon Rowe from England, Vernon Royal, also Bob Berry, and Toby Rowland Brown from England. Simon Cook from Australia. And we also have Simon is trying to get me on my phone, so I don't know if he can get onto the program or something, but he's trying to get me right now on my phone. All right. So we have Ole Mounstreamen from Denmark, who will be celebrating on the 29th as well. And the brother of Mr. Leo Francis, his brother is celebrating his birthday, will be celebrating on the 29th along with Simon. His brother Hicksford Francis will be celebrating Leon's brother on the 29th, and along with Oprah Winfrey, who will turn 65. Oprah Winfrey will turn 65 on the Fuller out of Jamaica, West Indies. Hugh Tyfield and Alison Hopkinson, female cricketer out of South Africa. David Brown, England, along with June Stevenson and Robert Rollins, play for Essex. And we have Michelle Stark from Australia. Trevor Larkin, Denise Annett, female cricketer from Australia, along with Ben Cutting. And it's the anniversary of the great spell in 1993 when Sir Kirtley Ambrose demolishes the Aussies by a spell when he took 7 wickets for 1 run. 7 wickets for 1 run. That's something. For the 31st, Fahou Bakas out of Guyana. And we have John in Variety and Billy Watson from Australia. Frank Foster and Henry Foster from England. And we have first of February with the birth of the lover rock himself, Mr. The late Dennis Brown. He was born back in 1957, the 1st of February. And he passed away in 1999. He's celebrating his birthday. Will be going along with Franklin Rose out of Jamaica, West Indies. Clifford McWatt from Guyana, representing West Indies on 6 test matches. And Mr. Rakeem Cornwall out of Antigua, he'll be celebrating on the 1st of February also. From South Africa, Milton Morin, the coach of South Africa, Nick McCullen, Graham Smith, and we have Kip Snook, they'll be celebrating all on the 1st. Ajit Jadeja from India and Mohammed Jahinga Khan. He is the father of Majid Khan. You know, there was a time when India and Pakistan was one, when it was. From Australia, David Sinkoff and Mois Henriques. And from Pakistan, Shahid Malik and Nasser Malik. And finally, for the 2nd of February, that is Saturday, Sunil Withimani, Jasir Reyes Amar Singh from Sri Lanka, along with Yupal Ranga and Kazion Mendes, wicketkeeper. Joy Benjamin out of St. Kitts, Emerald Kane, Kites from Bangladesh, Mohammed Amal Islam, and Ayansha Rahman, female cricketer out of Bangladesh. And finally, Peter Joseph Moore, wicketkeeper from Zimbabwe. That's what I have here for you, Leon. Ivor, you know his habit to always saying Leon. So, I can come back a little later with a couple birthday. But Ivor, Simon is trying to get through to my phone. So I don't know if he's having problem getting through on the main line.
I think so as well, because a few folks could not get in directly, which is one of them,
mm-hmm.
and I had to get them out from here. But now our live stream going out to the world, 2020 Vision, we're getting it, Vernice, if I can call the name. She would have lost the stream. And tried several computers, so nothing to do with the computers. It just shut us down from getting out streaming. But, you know, the show is going. It's being recorded and all that stuff. But in terms mm-hmm. of streaming out there, where they're getting it live at this time, it's not doing us justice in this time. So it has something to do with the organizers, because I would have tried... I'm on different computers here, and they're doing the same thing, so it's nothing to do with laptop computers, phones, or anything. Some glitches in the system. So for that, we apologize. Well, Cardinal, birthdays. We're in that birthday anniversary and the condolences and all the good stuff at this time.
Yeah, they say, you know, some people just usually say, give me the bad news first. So I'm going to start by conveying my condolences to Leon and, you know, heartfelt wish for his